Welcome to today's episode of Barbecue Soft. I'm your host, Caleb Smith, and before we kick off the episode, let's get into some of the latest sports news. First off, Marlins are going to shut down due to the COVID outbreak in their organization. 17 staff/players combined positive for COVID-19, and along with the St. Louis Cardinals, their series against the Milwaukee Brewers gets postponed due to more tests of the Cardinals are now testing positive. So next, we got Joey Bosa gets a 5-year, $135 million extension for the highest for a defensive end in the NFL, which, I mean, Joey Bosa is a stud and will be for the next couple of years. And then next, some disappointing news, especially for a Chicago Bears fan. Andy Goldman's going to opt out of the 2020 season over COVID concerns, along with Chiefs starting running back Damian Williams. So for both of these teams, that'll be big for them. And then the NFL is going to deny using a bubble. Not really much to say about that. It seems like the NBA is working a lot better with a bubble due to the MLB, but we'll see. And then one of the biggest news is Blue Jays are going to be playing the 2020 MLB 60-game MLB season in Buffalo due to the governor of Canada not allowing baseball in Canada from America due to coronavirus outbreak concerns. And some happy news, WNBA and the NBA is going to return to season action. For the NBA, I know there's 8 games for each team in the bubble. The next tool is going to pass his physical, so he'll be ready for the 2020 season. And some other interesting news. The bench is clear between the Astros and Dodgers after Joe Kelly throws behind Alex Bregman and Carlos Carrera. And then when Alex Bregman got to first, try to throw out the ribs to try and pick him off. So Joe Kelly was given an 8-game suspension for that. And then Zion Williamson's is going to return to practice after leaving the bubble due to family concerns. And then finally, Lou Williams is going to quarantine because he left the bubble due to Lou Williams just left the bubble being immature, just getting some food. And they do provide food in the bubble. So that's latest sports news. Now let's get to the topic. First off, with the NFL, the biggest NFL news is Jamal Adams has been traded to the Seattle Seahawks. So the Jets received a 2020 first round pick, 2021 third round pick, 2022 first round pick, and then safety Bradley McDougal. And then the Seahawks received, obviously, Jamal Adams in a 2022 fourth round pick. So with this trade, I was not happy at all for the Seahawks. I think this was a very bad move on their part. But let's get in some stats before I explain that. Jamal Adams this previous season had assisted 14 tackles, had 6.5 sacks with an interception and 61 yards. But that's a decent season for safety. But the thing that concerns me the most is that the Seahawks offensive line rank is 28, and then the Seahawks defensive line rank is 32. So what the Seahawks basically did here is cleared up all their cap room for nothing that they really needed. Bradley McDougal could have been a good safety for a safety that they could have drafted to learn from, but the Seahawks didn't want to wait, so they went on to get Jamal Adams then. But the thing that concerns me the most is that they have the worst defensive line and one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. So you put all of your cap room on Jamal Adams, somebody who you really didn't need, and now you really don't have much cap room for an O-line and D-line, which concerns me for the organization, because during free agency, teams were smart, teams were not. I think the Seahawks are put in that category, teams who aren't smart with this. I mean, they could have used their money on a great right guard that's out there, Brandon Schrieff, I believe that's his name. He could be easily your franchise right guard. But no, the Seahawks are just going to decide to spend it on Jamal Adams, which is a very, very silly move to me. But Pete Carroll is going to do many things with Jamal Adams. So We'll see how it works out with them. I mean, the grades for this, the Seahawks, for me, I got to give them some credit. I give them a B-, but the Jets did things right, and now they're going to have a rebuilding year. Now it's going to come down between them and the Jaguars for the number one pick. And so I gave the Jets with this one an A-. I think they just did an absolute amazing job. But another thing with the Jets, too, is they need to get rid of Adam Gase. If they do that, this trade is an A-plus for me all the way around. So next on, going to the MLB. In the AL standings, remember last episode I did the NL standings for the MLB. So I'm going to get on to the AL standings. So first off with the AL, at least we got the New York Yankees, number one in division at 46-14. Nothing really to say here. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Aroldis Chapman, Marciano Tanaka. This team is capable of going to a World Series. Gerrit Cole. This team is World Series ready, and they're going to easily top off number one in the AL East, and going to be one of the top contenders for that World Series title. And then second, I put the Boston Red Sox. I mean, as you already know, the Red Sox off to a bad start. Plenty of injuries. Chris Sale's not really going to help. Trading Mookie Betts was concerning for me, but I think this team, I think they still have talent, and they're going to turn around and possibly maybe sneak into a wild card spot. Then third, I put the Tampa Bay Rays at 33-27. The Rays, they have many key pieces. I just don't think it will click for them this year. So the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be third in that division. Then fourth, I put down the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays are going to go 24-36. They have they're going to be World Series contenders again in, give them 3 years. Hold me accountable for that. In 3 years, they're going to shine. They're going to be at the top of the level just like they were a couple seasons ago back in 2015. I mean, they have Hyunjin Ryu, who was the best pitcher, was one of the best pitchers in the NL, had the lowest ERA, just had an outbreak here. The Blue Jays picked him up, smart move on their part. Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's going to be the next, I compare him to like Mark McGwire, next Mark McGwire. Bo Bichette proved what he could do during his first rookie season, so Bo Bichette, Vlad and Hyunjin Ryu are going to bring many special things to that team in the future. Then, and last, I put the Orioles. They're just rebuilding and don't have very many key pieces. Mark Trumbo, maybe. That might be it. Anyway, on to the AL Central. This was the most confusing one for me. This is the most confusing division that I had to write down. I mean, the first three teams are going to be so, it's going to be a tight race to that first spot. But first, I put the Cleveland Indians at 40-20. People may have switched. Twins and Indians, I think the Indians will stay there. Shane Bieber, he's been great to start off the season. And this Indians team, they still have Francisco Lindor. I really don't like Lindor, but he's good. I think he'll do many positive things for them. So this Indians team will win their division, but just very, very slightly. Then second, got the Minnesota Twins. This team is heavy hitting at 39-21. This team is, picking up Josh Donaldson was one of the best moves in free agency this year, putting him alongside Nelson Cruz. They're going to bring, they combined about 50 home runs. So there's like, with those two combined, you get 50 home runs. I like the pitching. This Twins team is gonna be maybe just a game and or a half a game behind the Indians. Then third, Chicago White Sox, really no brainer for the third place. Lucas Giolito came, shocked many people. I gave him the Most Improved Player Award. Went from barely making the team 2 seasons ago to last year being the last year making the All-Star team. So Lucas Giolito's going to carry them. Many think I like what they're doing. Tim Anderson. Picking up many good free agents. So this White Sox team is going to also, like what I said, the Red Sox and be crawling for that final wild card spot. Then I put down, this is going to shock people, the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to, but they're going to put up a good fight, though. I had them 22-38. They have Miguel Cabrera. I know that's really it, but as you can see of what he's done, he can still do good things for a baseball team, no matter who. Then finally, I put down the Kansas City Royals. They really don't have anything on that team anymore. Had Lucas Duda, he's gone. So the Royals are not, are last. Worst in the AL, as I put them. Then the AL West, this was another very confusing division. I think a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but hold my word accountable. You just got to watch. First, the team who everybody hates and who I think will win the World Series, the Houston Astros at 50-10. They still have good weapons. They're going to be more nervous, though, during the season. You could see it when they face the Dodgers. And then when they go on to face teams like the Yankees, they're going to be up against them, and that they're going to be nervous with that. But they're going to pull out. Alex Bregman, George Springer, Jose Altuve, Carlos Carrera, if they all click, they're going to win a World Series. Then second, this is going to be the most controversial thing that I think that people are going to hear. The Seattle Mariners going 42-18. They're 4-3 right now. They're just gonna blast. Everything's gonna click. That Mets trade that they made is gonna be positive on their side. Mets prospect's gonna be next Robbie Cano, or excuse me, not next Robbie Cano. The next Tom Seaver. Everything's gonna click. D. Gordon's gonna have a MVP year. Everything's just gonna click. Sure, they're rebuilding, but everything's just gonna click. Then next, it was a struggle between the Athletics and Angels, but I put the Athletics there. Matt Chapman, third baseman, he's just excellent at what he does. He's really it, but they're still a good team to make a wild card run. It's just that I had him at 32-28. I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs this year, but who knows, they could turn it around. Next, people are not going to like what I've done right here. I put the Angels and the Rangers at the exact same record at 29-31. People are saying the Angels are going to be at the top of their division. No, this is not going to work for the Angels. They say every year is their year. It's just not going to work. They do have Joe Maddon, who I think will do good. Shohei Ohtani, who's been off to a horrific start with pitching and batting. Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, he's hurt. They, on paper, people are going to say that it's going to work, but it's not going to work. Like with the New Jersey Devils. On paper, they had the best free agency. And the Cleveland Browns, on paper, best free agency. Did not work out whatsoever. Then the Rangers, they do still have key pieces like Todd Frazier. They're young. They're going to be good. They're going to be good in a couple years. They're going to make some moves, which I believe, that are going to make them good. Next top. So that's the MLB. Let me know what you thought of that. Now it's time for what's going to be my favorite topic of the day. The NBA regular season awards, in my opinion. So, starting it off with NBA Rookie of the Year. This is also going to be controversial between Zion and Ja, but it's only fair to give it to Ja. Zion, yeah, maybe he made a playoff contenders, but Ja has worked his way. Had a very nice story from a child. His father, big inspiration in his life. He's earned it. I remember people saying the Grizzlies are crazy. They're not going to be good. Ja Morant just clicked. He's going off. He only has 17.7 points, but that's not a worry. He'll improve on that. His assist had exactly 7, rebounds exactly 3, and his field goals was 48.7. So, John Morant, that's like a good rookie season, and he's going to win, in my opinion, NBA Rookie of the Year. Sixth Man of the Year. It came down between Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, both on the Los Angeles Clippers, but I mean, it's Lou Williams. This man was a beast off the bench. 18.5 points. What are you going to say about that? 18.5 points coming off the bench. The Clippers, they already had Kawhi and Paul George. They didn't really need Lou Williams to step up that big. But Lou Williams did what I didn't think he was going to do. He stepped up 18.5 points, 5.7 assists, rebounds, 3.1, his field goal is 41.6. But Lou Williams is the best sixth man that there is. Then the defensive player of the year, this is going to be controversial. Rudy Gobert had the better stats, but I gave it to AD. AD just makes that Lakers team better. No matter what. I'll just say it now. Anthony Davis is my two-way player of the year. It came down between Kawhi and AD, but AD is the defensive player of the year here. It came down between Rudy Gobert, Kawhi, Paul George, and AD. I just took AD. I mean, he makes this Lakers team better. He had 9.4. He averaged 9.5 rebounds. Averaged 2.5 blocks, and then his steals were 1.4, but the steals is what gets me. Average 2 steals. That's incredible for the NBA. Especially the people who had to grow up against. James Harden, Chris Paul. I mean, the best ball handlers in the league right there. Steph Curry. Anthony Davis is able to make this Lakers team better. No LeBron, no problem. That should be a t-shirt. No LeBron, no problem for Anthony Davis. Then Coach of the Year, really, it was between Billy Donovan, Frank Vogel, and Mike Budenholzer, but I gave it to Mike. His record this in the regular season was 54-11. He had some big wins against the Celtics, Raptors, 76ers, and Lakers. Mike Budenholzer won them games. He won them games. Sure, you have Giannis on that team, but that's really it. Mike Budenholzer, Giannis would have been what he was a couple years ago. I saw somewhere that 2K had him as 60 overall a couple years ago. But when they brought in Mike Budenholzer, it was the best coaching move, which I believe is going to be one of the best that they remember in the NBA. He suddenly pointed out Giannis and said, he's going to be our main man. He won them games. He won them the game against the Lakers. He won them games in that series against the He won them games in that series against the Celtics a couple years ago. He won them games against the Raptors, even though he lost that series. But he won them games. Mike Budenholzer deserves this award. Most improved player. This is also controversial between Pascal Siakam and Devontae Graham. I took Devontae Graham. People who had no idea who he was at the beginning of the year, especially since this Hornets roster is absolutely atrocious. But then you have Devontae Graham. Steps his game up. Averages 18.2 points. His assists were 7.5. Rebounds 3.4. And his field goal was 38.2. That, I look somewhere, he averaged 4 points last season. Then he suddenly steps up and adds more hope to a Hornets team that doesn't really have much hope. He was amazing with passing, 7.5 assists, that's good. So, Devontae Graham deserves a sword. And then, at the MVP, the one that's been waiting for, is it going to be LeBron, Harden, or Giannis? This was tricky. I love LeBron's playing style. I love what he does. Basically, he has carried that Lakers team when they've missed AD. But the MVP goes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. averaged 30 points a game. 13.8 rebounds. His assists were 5.8. That is incredible for a guy whose peak has just started. They're going to be finals champs this season after the NBA bubble. Giannis Antetokounmpo has worked and worked and worked for the spot. Won it last year, but he's having a better season than he did last year. Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be better than LeBron James. Hold me for that. He's going to be better than LeBron James. He's going to be better than LeBron. He's going to be up there in the top 10 all the time if he can keep this up. And then the rebounds. He's another good two-way player as well. So there's my NBA regular season awards. Let me know if you like that. Now on to the NHL. I was stumped for what to do for this, but I just picked somebody, a former Buffalo Sabre, Ryan Miller. I just asked if he was still a franchise goalie. Game started this previous season, 19. Wins 9, lost 6, and then when they brought him to overtime and won, he had 4. Save average 65, saves 621, and he actually had an assist this year. So is Ryan Miller a franchise goalie anymore? I put a big, fat no. He's getting up there in age. He's like 31 or 32. Who's going to want a 31 or 32-year-old goalie? Just doesn't make sense for the NHL these days. I mean, all these young, upcoming players. Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. McKinnon, I can't think of his first name right now. Those are the guys of the future. Ryan Miller is past his prime with the Buffalo Sabres. He was in his prime in the mid-2000s. That's when they went to a champion. That's when they went to a Stanley Cup. When Ryan Miller was in his prime, when Ryan Miller was a leader, the Sabres were good. Ryan Miller's getting up there in age, really can't do what he did anymore. So that's an easy no for me. Then finally, this has been a fun episode for me, but I'm ending off with last week I did top 5 college football coaches. Now I'm doing top 5 basketball coaches who I'd want to bring to a national championship. Number 5, Jim Boeheim. Love the way he plays. I saw it inside the practice. He has a determined attitude. He's a very, very smart man. Syracuse, I can't remember what year it was. A reporter asked him some kind of question. I remember they had a 500 record last year, and he said, "That was one of the best years I've had at Syracuse." That was one of the best years I had at Syracuse. End quote. That was the best one. That's what he said. That was one of the best years that he had in Syracuse. Very, very smart man. So number 4, we got Mike Rhodes. You probably haven't heard of him. Head coach of VCU. Sure, you would want me to put Tom Izzo here. No. I only need to write down one thing. He made VCU Final Four contenders. This basketball team was not good. Then they bring in Mike Rhodes. They come in instantly. They're Final Four contenders, and if they land better recruits. Final Four. Can't get much better than that. I mean, I don't see him winning a national championship, but Final Four, that's going to prove Mike Rhodes' legacy. And then third, put Tony Bennett, head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers. Also a very intelligent, not as intelligent as some of the coaches I put down here, but he's still very smart. When VA lost to UMBC, UMBC was a 16th seed. Virginia was the number 1 seed. UMBC shocked the world, beat them by 20-something points. They come back and win the championship the next year. They win it. They win the championship next year. Sure, he only has one championship with them, but he's going to be there for a long time. He's Virginia's coach that's going to lead him to 5 or 6 national championships. Can't get much better than Tony Bennett. So number 2, final 2, I put down, and people are going to either agree or disagree with this one. This may be one of the most controversial ones if you put it on how he was last season. Roy Williams, head coach of the North Carolina basketball team. I can't remember what the number was. He was the quickest. He was the quickest coach to either get to NCAA basketball coach to get to 500 or 700 wins back a couple years ago when they won the national championship. Fastest. He was the fastest. Roy Williams. He's also a very intelligent man. He knows how to win basketball games, but he can also lose basketball games. He had Cole Anthony, a player that I absolutely do not like. He's a terrible teammate. Roy Williams stresses that they're a family. Then he has Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony was a terrible, terrible recruit to bring into UNC. Especially when they're all about the family. It's a terrible recruit. Cole Anthony is going to be in the NBA draft this year. If I was a GM in the draft, no. Pass on Cole Anthony. He's a terrible teammate. Terrible. During big games, complained. Roy Williams told him to knock it off. He did. See, Roy Williams, just like that, boom. Not did that. And then finally, our number one coach was Coach K. First name is Mike. I don't know how to say his last name. It's kind of a no-brainer. Many, many, many national championships. Many. Sure, they've been. I've said some things about them where they're not going to be in the top 25, but still. They're going to land recruits. They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They should have gone to the national championship when they had the team of Zion and RJ. They were amazing. One of the best college basketball teams I've ever seen, besides the Fab Four. But Mike, or Coach K, is also maybe the most intelligent college basketball coach out there. He's led teams to big wins against Butler. He drew up a play that worked. It worked. Sure, maybe Butler almost won with Gordon Hayward's shot, but Coach K was able to win him that national championship. And then the game against North Carolina was Zion and RJ. He won them that game. Sure, you have the best athlete out there, but he won them games. And Coach K is a leader. He's a leader. This is why you see Duke always in the conversation talk, is because Coach K can be a great leader. So Duke is doing something right with, or Coach K is doing something right. So that's today's episode of Barbecue Stuff. I would like to thank you for tuning in. Let me know what you thought of it, and thanks for tuning in. Bye.